Okay.
Okay.
Elohim Tov, everybody.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov. That is, God is good all the time in Hebrew.
Amen.
Have to tell them that because you never know who's watching for the first time.
Amen.
Okay, so my wife is going to pray us in. We have a very important message today. And my wife will hand me the cards when she goes over.
I sure will.
Okay, but we will let's stand and let's pray for the message today. While you're standing, say, help him, Father. don't just stand. Pray for me.
Amen.
All right?
Amen. Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this day, dear Jesus. We thank you for your presence in this building, dear Lord. We thank you for Pastor Sandy, dear Jesus, that he's taken the time, dear Lord, to be before your throne in regards to this message on today. Bless him, Lord. Teach him, Lord. Keep him, Lord, as he shares what you put on his heart, dear Lord. Let it be accurate, dear Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to him and through him, dear Lord. Allow us to have ears to receive in the name of Jesus. Hearts open, dear Lord. And those that are online, dear Jesus, and listening abroad, dear Lord, that they also receive in the name of Jesus, that their spiritual ears are open to hear you, dear Lord, that they take the information and study for themselves. We thank you, dear Lord, and we bless you on this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hand me those cards, tree. Hallelujah.
Pastor, one of them are from Thanksgiving that I just kept forgetting to bring.
Oh, you brought me a Thanksgiving card. So Pastor Ben apologizes already because here it is. Wow, Thanksgiving card from Deborah. Thanks, Deborah.
I'm sorry, Deborah.
You weren't late. Pastor Ben is late.
I'm so sorry.
I'm going to have to give you my address because Pastor Ben. But it's a nice. This is so thankful to be. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. A wonderful Thanksgiving.
Amen.
Sure. Thank you, Deborah. It's a beautiful card.
Amen.
You know, it would have been awesome on Thanksgiving, Pastor Ben. So that is beautiful. Thank you, Deborah. And this card is from, Prison Ministry James. This is our 18th year in Angel Tree, giving gifts to children whose parents are in prison. And so this is our 18th year doing this. 150 kids we ask for each year. And we don't know where we're going to get the toys sometimes, but God has come through 18 years
every
straight,
time,
right? Okay, and of course, this is from Yini. She always sends me a very encouraging card. Beautiful. Okay, now, the message for today. Thank you, Yini. I can't pronounce her whole name, but I'm going to learn in heaven.
Amen.
All right. So how are you guys doing?
Blessed.
You blessed?
Amen.
What's your name? Yolanda, nice to see you. God bless you. How you guys meet? Oh yeah, you gotta watch how you say that, huh? People be like, huh?
I'm curious.
Yeah.
About being followers.
And you met this.
Yeah.
And she started talking about Jesus.
It was like 3 times that I've
seen. Oh, praise God! Praise God! Well, thank you, Yolanda. Appreciate you coming. You live in L.A.?
Yeah, right now I'm from
home. We're going to have to talk about that. All right. Praise God. This is wonderful. Okay. I want us to kind of get on board with what the Lord is doing, because that's what the Lord is telling me. We are a lot bigger than we seem.
Yes.
This is a small church, but it's about almost a $13,000 membership, right? $13,000. 13,000 membership, right? Pretty much all over the world. I know because I get them emails. You know, you finish 250 emails and you go, oh, I finally finished. And then you wake up the next morning, you got 295. And you go, man. So I know there's a lot of people listening. Anyway, the Lord wants us to know as a body of Christ that we are bigger than what we think and we are going to be on a mission in 2020. The campaign of the mission is to prepare people to leave to prepare people to be ready to meet God, okay? The Lord says it will be like we'll get a lot of people that love us and we'll get a lot of people that hate us. But when you're doing work for God, you know, you're going to get a little bit of both sides, okay? So kind of like be prepared for that, okay? This is my flyer that the Lord had me put together for 2020. You can put it up there where they can see it, Pastor Ben. And the whole thing is about the most wonderful day in the world for people who love Jesus, and not too pleasant day for people who have ignored God and or been lukewarm in their kinda, you know, like I'm a Christian kinda lifestyle. Okay, so the Lord really wants us to be prepared, and I'm speaking to you, and I can't really focus on your face because we need to be prepared for what the Lord wants us to do. That flyer I want to distribute all over the world, and we have the capability to do it now.
Yes, we do.
Thousands I'd like to give out by myself and just talk to people, because there's a lot of really wonderful families who don't know God, and nobody's witnessing to them or telling them about Jesus. They can get the Jehovah Witness thing, but they don't really want to get involved with that, right? So, and most Christians are like, well, you know, if I talked about Jesus, they'll, you know, not like me. So some of us are kind of quiet. But I love for 2020 to be the year that Christians are no longer quiet.
Yes.
That we are preaching the gospel and telling people and warning people to be prepared for the great day. I'm not going to read the flyer yet, because there's information on here that people that have been here or people who are online who have studied would really know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's information that needs to be heard and it needs to be spoken, okay? I am not about church stuff or exalting me or Pastor Ben or making us like some big shots or some, that is not who we are. We are in this for ministry and ministry only, okay? We're in this for souls and souls only. You could have gone to a church that you can just, you know, go in and be yourself and just leave and no information and but people don't really care. It's kind of like you get on kind of like what's that wheel that you get on this wheel and you go and you go to church and you give your tithe. Yeah. And you get your tithes and you, and then you, you know, and then it's time you get off, you get back on next Sunday and you give your tithes and then, you know, they don't really care as long as you keep coming, you know, but that's not the case here. I really want you to know and understand who God is.
Yes.
I want you to know his power in your life. I want you to know how much he loves you. I want you to know how much you can trust him. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know how much his plan does not need you.
Amen.
But he would love to include you in his plan.
Wow.
If you happen to want to join.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
I want us to want to join God's plan. Okay? Because it's a wonderful plan. Okay? You know something invisible created what you see now?
Mm.
So that means the invisible came before the physical,
yes.
Right? So that means his side is real and your side is going back to dirt. Isn't that something?
Amen.
Yet we see us as being real, and that's the imaginary side. No, that's the real side.
Right.
You're imaginary. Just watch.
Amen.
You'll turn back to dust, okay? So understand who God is and understand that God had a plan before you got here.
Yes.
Okay? You got thrown into the middle of a movie. You don't know what's going on, But God is trying to catch you up on the movie. On, okay, this is the plot, okay?
Right.
There was a guy named Adam. I made him. Well, first there was Lucifer. I kicked him out. And then there was a guy named Adam. And then he sinned, you know, and his wife sinned. And then we had this whole sin came up on everybody. And then I had to choose a people because I had to come into the world and save you. But I was trying to figure out which people. So I chose the Hebrews. And I came down and then I died, and then once I died, I made it available for all of you to have eternal life, and I'm going to come back and get those who believe in me,
mm-hmm.
and take you to heaven first, and then I'll come back and we'll deal with all the enemies. Okay, you caught up? Play your role and play it well, right?
Amen.
So now it's like, okay, now stick with me, because I am the planner, I am the script writer, I am the producer, I made this movie, and I wanted it to end well for you,
right.
So I want you to make sure that you're with me, and you're not faking being with me, but that you're really with me, okay, because I want you to be completely sold out to me, because I'm completely sold out to you, okay?
Yes.
So, let's begin, I'll read my flyer later, but let's begin in the book of Numbers, chapter 23. And of course, chapter 23, verse 19. Oh, good, I have a water. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Hey, I wanted to say something before I begin. Hey, Terry, if you're watching, Terry has a website, I mean a YouTube called Watch Woman, and she's like, she's really good, she's really supportive of our church, and she puts out really good information. She sent me something about a dream about movies this morning. I'll let you guys know, but her thing is called Watch Woman, and she's a good minister of the gospel, and she is very supportive of this church. There's another woman called Watch Woman, I think 85 or 86 or something. And while she's trying to teach, which she teaches very bad, in the background is all kind of witchcraft stuff. So she, that she forgot to hide before she started saying she's a Jew, that she was with Jesus, right?
Wow.
So Terry, Watch Woman, our Watch Woman is very good. Terry, 86, Watch Woman, 86. And you can tell the difference. The black lady is Watchwoman 86, but she forgot to remove the cats and the symbols out the background. But
glory.
I was like, I just typed in, like, this lady's a witch and you guys are listening to her? She's preaching the gospel. Like, and she's, well, anyway, let's continue.
Amen.
All right, you're in Numbers chapter 23.
Yes.
Love you, Terry.
Dr. Berry, say what's up.
Hey, Dr. Berry. All right, now, in chapter 23, verse 19. This is what the scripture says. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He has said and he will do. He has spoken and will he not make it good? Okay, that's one. I think that's King James. In this other version, it says God is not a human that he should lie, nor a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Okay? So, God is making a proclamation. This is who I am. When I say something, it's going to happen. He's not in the business of changing his mind once he has a plan, right?
Right.
He said the nation of Israel would be birthed again into the world, even though they had not been in the land for 2,520 years. He said they will be back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if God was a God to change his mind, he could have said, well, they're going through the Holocaust. This is going to be too difficult. I'm not going to bring them back. But this is what God does. When he speaks it, it's going to happen.
Right.
And you can bet every dime that you have in the bank that what God says is going to come to pass.
Yeah.
And he says he doesn't change his mind, and it's going to happen. He will rise and will make what he has spoken happen.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So.
Pastor Sandy, I'm sorry to interrupt. This
yes.
It's Watch Woman 65 that's there.
Watch Woman 65. I'm glad you got it. Thank you. I said 86?
You said 86.
A little backwards. Okay. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 is probably one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. I think I want to dance every time I read it. It's just the good, I call it the good news verse. You guys with there? It says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." This is Jesus talking. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you," that word is perilambano, which means to take as a friend or a companion, "I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Where's Jesus right now?
Heaven.
He's in heaven. So Jesus is making a promise that he's coming back to take you to be where he is. Okay?
Amen.
It says, "You know the way to the place where I'm going." What's the way? Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life, right? But listen what he says. We have to understand. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions," okay? And I'm not going to use the English because the English says many rooms.
Right.
And the Greek says mansions, which is a complete different word, okay? Mansions, you need a butler, all right? So he has promised, "I'm leaving, but don't you worry. I'm coming back, and I'm going to take you to be with me where I am," okay? Is that a promise from God to you that he's taking you to heaven?
Yes.
If Jesus comes back to the earth and you haven't been to heaven, something's wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. And Jesus has come back to the earth. He's landed on earth. And he's doing good deeds. And you heard about him on CNN.
Ooh.
And you're like, "Wow, Jesus is back." And they tell you, "Hey, Jesus is back. He's doing all kinds of great things." Should you believe that? If you're reading your Bible, you will not believe that, because you know that there's a rap thing called a rapture that must take place.
Yeah.
And that the church must leave the earth before a 7-year tribulation must take place.
Yeah.
And then after the 7 years of tribulation, Jesus says he will come back and judge them. And that's when he will judge with fire. Okay. But the first plan is, "I'm coming back to take you out of there first, because it's getting kind of crazy. And before it gets too crazy, I'm coming for my church."
Yeah.
Okay. So now, there is a movie coming out by Netflix called The Messiah. You guys seen the
preview?
That is the biggest, fattest lie of a movie I've ever seen. Because, and I'm encouraging Christians everywhere, boycott it, don't go see it. I don't care if they do call it. They could call it The Messiah, Wonderful Jesus, if you want. But do not go see it, because it is a lie, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you see something defiled in that movie that you wish you hadn't seen, you'll know you saw it because you didn't do what Pastor Sandy told you not to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go see it. Netflix don't make movies for Christians.
Right.
Netflix is top owner is who? Obama, who is a Satanist, right? So one of the top financial guys in Netflix is Obama. And so that is not going to be a movie that's going to come out that's going to preach a true Jesus. OK. And so I'm telling you, don't. And besides, the whole concept of the movie is wrong, because Jesus on the earth and there hasn't been a rapture is wrong.
Right.
And so as a Christian, you're like, I'm not going to see that lie. That's possible. Now, if they show a rapture first, OK, and then a fake Jesus coming,
mm-hmm.
then I'll say, I'll go see that, because that's true.
Right.
OK. But Netflix is not going to make a Christian movie. But understand what the scripture is saying. God himself, who does not change his mind, and his promises, he says he will make them good, says he's coming to get you, to take you to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Before the mess begins. Okay?
Amen.
Before the mess begins. Because everybody's sending out, "Oh, the finances is going to break down. Oh, this is going to happen. Oh, there's going to be a third world war." The children of God are here. We will be eating, sleeping, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage up until the day that he comes and gets us. Okay? Right. That's whose word I trust, because he doesn't change his mind. All right? Now, let's go to hallelujah. I hallelujah myself because that was good.
Amen.
All right. Matthew. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. Hallelujah. You in Matthew chapter 24?
Amen.
Now listen to this. No one knows the day or the hour. I'm going to read it again. No one knows the month or the year. Is that what it says?
No.
What verse? No one. It's in verse 36. No one knows the century or the millennium.
Nope.
Okay? No one knows the day or the hour. Okay? So if you say, I know the day and I know it's going to be at 5 o'clock, we're going to call the people, right? With the white jackets. Because you don't know the day and the hour. Okay? So, and if you knew the hour, what hour and what time and what time zone?
What time,
okay.
Yeah.
And since it's already tomorrow in some places, you don't know the day either, right? So therefore, you don't know the day or the hour, but God has given you an understanding of when he's going to judge, because he says we are not children of darkness. We're children of light.
Yes.
And we should know the signs and the times that we're living in.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And to ignore those is really a deceitful self to your, a deceitful thing to yourself. Because God wants you to know, because
yes.
He wants his people to be prepared.
Yes.
Let's go. Okay. So it says, no one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father, as it was in the days of Noah. Can you say that with me? As it was in the days of Noah. So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. You hear that?
Yes.
Jesus just gave you a big clue.
Yes, he did.
It's going to be just like Noah's days. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be just like Noah's days. How is that going to be? It says, for in the day before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't say that there's going to be havoc in the world all over the place. Christians are going to be running for their lives. And then the Lord's going to come and take you. No. What does he say? You'll be eating, drinking, marriage, giving in marriage. Okay, you're not having a wedding day while you're having World War III. Okay, you're not shopping for food while they're having World War III. Okay,
right.
So God says, relax, it's going to be a normal day when it happens.
Yeah.
Okay, your job is to what? Be ready.
Yeah.
Okay,
Pastor Watchwoman said, thank you for letting them know I'm not one.
Amen. Now it says in verse, let's see here. Verse 39, and they knew nothing about what it would happen until it came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, same word, paralambano, as a friend or a companion, and the other left, a Greek word that means divorced, which means that the person left knew God.
Hmm.
This is not a message to non-believers. This is like the 10 virgins. They were all waiting on the same bridegroom, right?
Yeah.
We continue. Where was I? Thank you. Two women will be grinding with the handmill. One will be taken and the other one left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So our job is to what? Keep watch. Title of the day's message is The Fool Became a Prophet, 2020 Rapture. The Fool Became a Prophet. And the Lord reminded me that for 119 years, Noah was everybody's fool.
Yeah.
Noah was, that's the guy building the boat, talking about live righteous, don't do the things that we love to do for the sake of a God we haven't seen. And he's building a boat. For 119 years, Noah did that. Okay? Preach righteousness. Okay? The 120th year, the fool became a prophet. Yeah. It was like, wow, what he said came true. Mm. Oh, now, see, now understand, we don't have prophets, but we do have watchmen.
Right.
And a watchman is supposed to keep a watch on dangers that are approaching. How is he going to know? By the word of God. If he knows the word, he knows the situation, he knows that Israel is rebirthed, he knows that it's the 6,000th year, he knows that Israel had his 70th birthday, he's watching to make sure that the people are warned if something should happen. He should see it coming so that he can blow the horn and say, I'm warning you, I see something happening.
Yes.
Okay? The God that said, when that day happens, two will be in one place, one will be taken and the other one left. Also said in Numbers chapter 23, am I a man that I can lie? Am I a man that I change my mind? He says, if I speak, it is going to happen. So I don't know how much money you got in the bank, but you can bet every dime that one of these days, at the proper time, two will be in one place, one will be taken, the other one left. Otherwise, you should just take a trip over to Israel and see if it's really there. Because if it is, you can say, oh, my goodness, it wasn't here for 2,520 years. Mm. And he spoke it thousands of years before it happened. Okay? So understand who God is. He's making a wonderful promise to you. What is the promise? You stick with me, I'll stick with you. Okay? It is not just, see, some people think that God is pie in the sky. I don't think that. God is not pie in the sky. God is like, I got you covered there, and I really got you covered here. Just stick with me, okay? Because if you walk for him now, if you live for him now, you can hit your knees. Sometimes you can just think of something that you need, and God will make sure you get it.
Yeah.
You understand?
Amen.
So I want you to know that he's fully on your side here. And he's fully on your side when he takes you away.
Yeah.
Okay? But understand who you're serving, a God that loves you. The other side does not know love at all.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
I don't know how, when you guys got saved, but when I got saved, I used to hang out with some people that I knew that, like, the world is jacked up. You know what I mean? These people are doing stuff that I didn't even think people did, you know? And when I got saved, to get away from people like that and to realize there's a whole group of people that actually live by the Bible? Are you kidding? I started going to church and people were praising God and it was like, what, a holiness church? The women wouldn't even wear pants there. It was like,
I know, right?
It was like just everybody wanted to live for God. And I didn't know those type of people exist. I thought everybody was, you know, crooked in some way, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm meeting real Christians. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome, right? So I wanted to be that. Look, God is not going to change his mind about the rapture. Let's go to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm setting you up because this is something God wants us to do in 2020. Can you be bold enough to tell people they need Jesus? Can you be bold enough to tell people God's rapture plan hasn't changed?
Yeah.
Can you be bold enough to tell people the truth? Because if you are, remember we came in, Pastor Ben, we said, man, our goal is to get 2 million people saved.
Yeah.
And we were serious. Because we were younger and just, you join and you join the army, you think it's just going to be a lot of fun
until
they wake you up at 4 a.m.
Right?
So I'm just letting you know, we are in this for souls. Here we go. In Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, brother, I do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, meaning, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, according to the Lord's own words. So he's saying, Jesus told me this. We tell you that we who are still alive and are left to the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. They'll get their resurrected bodies before us. After that, we who are still alive, eating, sleeping, married, and given in marriage, right? Mm-hmm. We who are still alive and are left will be caught up, raptured, harpazo, lakach, whatever Hebrew, perlambano, you want to use. It all means the same thing, forcefully taken up. Okay? We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. See, he's not coming back to earth first. So the movie Messiah is a lie. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's good news.
Amen.
That's good news. You know why it's good news? Because the person who promised you this says he will not change his mind. He does not lie. He does not change his mind. If he says it, he's going to do it. So you can be confident in the God that you serve, that he has a great plan for you.
Yes.
Let's continue. Let's go to Psalms chapter 110. Psalms 110. Are you there?
Amen.
Now, in before 2010, I read this scripture, and this Psalms 110 is the prophecy of 2010, because all of the Psalms from Psalms 1 to Psalms 120 are prophetic psalms.
Yes.
Each one, Psalms 1 is for year 1901, Psalms 2 is for year 1902, Psalms 3 is for year 1903, Psalms 47 is for 1947, and it tells you what's going to happen in 1947. What book of the Bible is Psalms? The 19th. So 1947, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in 1947. In 1948, Psalm 48, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in 1948. Read the Psalms. It'll tell you Israel was rebirthed in 1948. The problem is the person that wrote that did it thousands of years before it happened, because he doesn't change his mind. And when he says something, it happens. Okay? Psalms 91 says God would protect them even though their enemies comes against them and nothing will harm them. They shot Scud missiles all at Israel at that desert storm thing, and not one missile hit Israel. And Psalms 91 said, I already told you it was happening, and I prophesied it, and it came true. Okay? So the Psalms are prophetic, telling us in this last generation, in this last count, what's going to happen, okay? We are the generation of the righteous that God titles us that name. There's only two generations in history that God titles the generation of the righteous. Noah's generation, which was the 120 years that he had, and then our generation, which is the 120 years that God has given us. And so now we're here at the 119th year, okay? And next year is 2020, okay? And now we have the responsibility as watchmen, okay, to say, are you ready for what God is about to do? Or we can have the fear in saying, God's not going to do anything. The world's going to always be the same. Don't worry about it. It's easy for us to say that because none of us lived through World War I or World War II.
Right.
We didn't see the catastrophes that happened during that time, okay? I don't know how many people were killed in both of those wars, but I say millions, okay? We think there'll always be malls, there'll always be cell phones. There'll always be malls. There'll always be video games and new cars. Because life just continues the same way as it always supposed to. And God's never going to do nothing because he kind of checked out. He's on a break.
Right. On a break.
And that's the mentality of the human race.
Yeah.
And that was the mentality of the human race before Noah. Because remember, Noah said for 119 years, I'm not building this boat for nothing. I'm telling you something about to happen. Water's going to come out of the sky. Now they're really laughing because it never did that before.
Never.
People are going to disappear who believe in the Lord right in front of you. That's never happened before. Okay. Are you trying to say there was no flood? Because we have video of these guys going to the bottom of that the lake. And what do they see? Chariot wheels.
Yeah.
At the bottom of the lake. I mean, at the bottom of the Red Sea.
Yeah.
Are chariot wheels.
Yeah. Saw the pictures. Yep.
So see, you came in on the middle of this movie. And God wants you to be a part of the perfect ending. And you can either choose to be on the hero side, or you could choose to be on the villain side.
Mm.
I like the hero side.
Amen.
I want to stand with Superman Jesus like this. We knew we'd do it, right?
Amen.
Because I'm telling you, God is doing the same thing for us that he did for Noah. I'm telling you, the generation you're living in it, okay? I'm telling you, and I'm going to document it, okay? Pastor Ben, I'm going to document it. I'm going to document every year so you can watch the count. And if you study it hard enough, you'll see that God is prophesied every year starting in the 1900s. I said, Lord, what's so important about the number 19? Why did you choose the 1900s? And the Lord said to me, I have already given you the answer. Okay, I've already given you the answer. You already know why I chose 1900s, because it's the year of holiness, and it's the quoth of the Hebrew, the 19th letter, means the cycle has been completed. Okay, so God said, I already told you the cycle has been completed. Okay. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They're going to both be the same way. I gave Noah a 120-year count. I'm going to give you a 120-year count, documented in Psalms so that you can go through it. And you don't need Pastor Sandy to warn you. You should read it and say, I need to check myself.
Right.
But see, I'm interested in souls because I could just tell you, like, God's going to bless you, and he's going to do wonderful things in your life, and all you got to do is learn how to tithe and put a seed into the... And you would do it. See, when I say stuff like that, I'm joking, but there are thousands of Christians that go to churches that there are thousands of members that the guy up front is like, I'm living good, right? Somebody sent me a picture of Joel Osteen's house this morning, and I was like, ooh, that is nice, right? It's like, is that a pool or a lake? But understand this. Satan is in the church business, but not for the same reason that me and Pastor Ben are in the church business.
Amen.
The church can never become business.
Amen.
The church is a servanthood to get people prepared to meet and know God. Okay? That's why if you're in sin, I got to come to you as a pastor and say, you shouldn't sin. You should repent. You should do your best to live right. Because if that day should happen while you're doing this, you will be stuck in tribulation. It's my job to tell you that. But if I tell you that and I feel like I'm going to lose your membership, then because it's now become a business, I can only say what keeps the business going.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, we don't have a business here.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So let's continue. Where did we just finish reading? Are we in Psalms 110? Wow. Mr. Talk a lot. Okay. It says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion. You will rule in the midst of your enemies. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle, arrayed in holy majesty. From the womb of dawn, you will receive the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. He will judge nations, heaping up dead bodies and crushing rulers of the whole earth. He will drink from a brook beside the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. You hear what I just read? God tells Jesus, sit here till I make your enemies your footstool. He's telling Jesus, sit here until I make your enemies your footstool. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is 7 years before the 6,000th year. Maybe it's going to happen in 2010. So I said, someone said, well, don't tell anybody, because if you do, they'll do what they did to Noah. They'll say, oh, you're a fool, right? Mm-hmm. A watchman's job is not to say, well, if I warn them, and those are really... and that's a really enemy army coming toward us, and I warn them, and it's not, they're going to say I'm a fool. But if I warn them and I save them, they're going to call me a hero. God says you don't get a choice in the matter.
Right.
You warn them.
Right.
Okay? So I'm warning. Okay? And so God is like, look, sit here until I make your enemies your footstool. And he says, in the scripture, these words. Wait, it says, "Al-Dabarti Melech Zedek," and here it is. The words are saying here, in the order of Melchizedek. Okay. Now, God gives the numerical value in the Hebrew of 110, but then he multiplies it and he gives it in the Greek of 2020. You are in the order of Melchizedek. So 2020 becomes the order of Melchizedek. Okay? Being funny, the Lord kind of say, well, you'll see me and I will see you in that day. He says, where do you think they got the term 2020 vision. And I said, you didn't put that in the earth, did you? I say no more. Listen, God is trying to tell this whole world, be prepared. Now, it's not enough for you to listen to me, because I know that people don't listen to me. Because in 2006, me and Pastor Ben, we're trying to warn people, hey, they're building concentration camps. And nobody believed us until that guy got a TV show, right?
Yep.
What's his name? The guy from Minnesota. He was the governor of Minnesota. When he got a TV show and he took people to the concentration camps and showed people the 500,000 caskets at the concentration camps, then all of a sudden everybody, Pastor Sandy and Pastor Ben was talking about this way back in 2006 before he even got a TV show. They really are building concentration camps. We told you that 4 years ago, they're building concentration camps. Why? They built 600, then they built additional 200, and then they closed down some Walmarts and they reconstructed them into being concentration camps. And I'm trying to tell you, they're building these things. These people are preparing. This guy goes and takes cameras and said, not only are they building them, they're putting 500,000 caskets at each one.
Yeah.
I tell you, but I'm a crazy guy. They kill a guy because he tells the whole world that the United States bought 30,000 guillotines and are keeping them at one of the concentration camps. So he ends up dead. I tell you. But I guess somebody will have to get a camera and go in and take a picture of the guillotines.
Hmm.
But what does the book of Revelation say? Those that confess Jesus Christ and refuse to take the mark will be beheaded.
Yeah.
So you know they got to buy guillotines at some time, because when God says something, it's going to happen. God said you will take a mark in your hand or in your forehead.
Yeah.
They came up with the chip, but God said it in 90 AD.
Yeah.
So if God says something is going to happen, but we're trying to pretend that God is finished with his part of the movie and he's taking a vacation. No, he's going to complete the whole book.
Yes.
And so it's up for us to be. See, this is why I dance when I read John 14, because I'm like, I'm staying close to Jesus. I ain't playing with this. I'm staying close to Jesus. When it's time to go, I'm leaving. I'm going to see my mama. We're going to dance. I'm thinking about the beautiful things. You know what sinners think about when I preach about the rapture? Oh, he's preaching destruction and death. I know Jesus. I don't know nothing about that. And you can know Jesus, too. You don't have to know about that.
Amen.
Let's continue. That's good timing. Praise God. I may be. So, oh, yeah, check this out. Let's go right now to Psalms 19. Check this out. This is amazing to me. Tell me when you get there, because I want us to read this together. Okay? Now watch this, okay? It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, okay? The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. How many languages in the whole world? We say 70. I counted 93 on Google. All of these languages. But he says the star constellations and the sky are a clear story of the gospel to the whole world. And there's no language in the whole world that does not understand the Matzaroth. At one time, it was like that. They looked to the Matzaroth. They looked to the stars to see what God was doing, because God wrote the gospel in the stars. And so that's why you have the Virgo, which is the Virgin Mary. And then you have the end of that. You have the Lion of Judah returning. Okay. The gospel was already written in the stars. One of the constellations is a cross, which the sun every year during winter sits right on the constellation of the cross for 3 days. And then after 3 days, it moves over and then we start getting more light. And it does it every year. Somebody created the sun to sit right in front of the constellation of the cross for 3 days every year. So we'll know that I prophesied that Jesus would come and he'd be on the third. And on the third day, he would rise up and you would get light into the world. And yet he's telling you in the scripture, be ready because I'm coming to take you because I built some mansions for you. Got you a Rolls Royce up here, girl. Like, he's trying to tell us, you know, like, I want you to enjoy what I died for. I died so that you can enjoy where I am. Why are you afraid of end times? Only because you don't want to serve God. But if you want to serve God, you're not afraid of the end times. Amen. Nor in the whole family. Like, how's your day? How's it going? Oh, it's going pretty good. They weren't worried about the end times. They're like, we got this boat behind us. If anything happens, right? And Sandy is like, I got this Jesus guy. I'm not worried about a thing, right? End times, I laugh at end times, right? Because we have Christ,
yeah.
Okay? You're afraid of end times because you don't want to live for God.
Yeah.
What the girl tell me at my job? Outside doing a Bible study at the job, she said, ooh, this is too much. I got to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I got to sleep at night. You talking about Jesus coming? I got to sleep at night. I'm out of here. It bothered her, right? But the Christians that were in there are like, this is amazing, man. I can't wait till the Lord comes. So you got two dichotomies, right, going on at the same time. And the world don't love them. And we can't live without them.
Amen.
You understand?
Yeah.
We can't. If you walk into a room, you walk into a room, and everybody looking at you, and I mean a room that's not Christian, nobody likes you. And you can't figure out why these people don't like me. You know what I mean? You're the only one in there not cursing, right? And you can't figure out why these people don't like me. Because a light just walked into the room.
Right.
And it's very uncomfortable to be in a room with somebody who's like, why is everybody cursing? We were cursing before you got here. You need to get out the room, right?
Amen.
We can't smoke a joint because Pastor Sandy coming. I was watching a cartoon with Israel the other day. He said, the guy said, and how many roaches do it take to screw in a light bulb? And he says, nobody knows because when they turn it on, they all scatter. And that's the truth. When we come into the room, it's like you got this presence. I got the cold today, so I'm good. You got the presence of God in a room, and nobody's comfortable anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And God made us a light. And I did a thing with that light bulb one day to show you. And I made the lightest bulb because we don't understand our presence in darkness, what it does to unbelievers.
Amen.
Very uncomfortable, okay?
Amen.
Let's continue. You and we're still in the same place, right? Okay, let's go to verse 4. It says, their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his race. It rises at one end of the heaven, and it makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. I'm trying to get to the scripture. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, in doing forever. Now, I want you guys to look at this line. Okay. Says here, the voice of the Lord goes out into all the world, their words to the end of the world. Does somebody have a King James Version? Does anybody have a King James? You do? What does it say?
Which verse?
Verse 4.
Their line has gone out to all the earth.
Thank you, my brother.
And their words to the end of the world.
Yes.
Them hath he set a tabernacle from sun.
Now what? See, the word is line, okay? Their line goes out. In this book, it says their voice goes out. No, the Hebrew says their line goes out. The line means it's a measuring line, okay? It's the word kav in Hebrew, which means a measuring line. He says God's word goes out like a measuring line, okay? And then it says, It circuits the earth, right? There's a go again with you, Pastor Ben, when he said it circuits. Oh. It's a circuit. The sun circuits around the earth. Yeah. But he said their lines go out into all the earth because it's measuring time. Yeah. Okay? Now, that word kav comes from the root word kavah, which means to wait, look for, with great expectation. What? The sun that's coming out of his pavilion like a bridegroom, okay? In the 19th book, in the 19th chapter, God is speaking to us about the bridegroom coming out of the pavilion, coming for what? For the bride. And it says, its line go out. The measuring line has already been. It's kind of like Ezekiel when he sees the wheel. He's trying to show you that the world is on a circular and it's coming back to the beginning, okay? Like we started in the garden, but at the end, a new heaven and a new earth, we're going back to the same place. A day-to-day relationship with God, okay? I'm almost done here, Pastor Ben.
Oh, take it to me.
Okay. So, I'm going to read it here. It says, the word translate line. Nope. That's not what I want to read. Here it is. Their measuring line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them, he has set a tabernacle in the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man, that's Jesus, to run a race. He's going forth is from the end of heaven and his circuit unto the end of it. And there is nothing hid from his heat thereof. So now, what am I saying? The measuring line is that there's a time. The circuit is showing that the sun takes its full circle and it comes back, okay, for you flat earthers. Because there's some people that mad at us because we don't believe the earth's flat. So understand this. God has put this on a timeline. He puts the word kav there to say this is a line. But the word kav comes from a root word, which means to wait with great expectation. So he said, wait for the bridegroom, what? With great expectation, because the line has been measured out already.
Wow.
Okay? And he puts it in the 19th book of the Bible in the 19th verse. Why? It's because the 19 is the quoth, is a quoth, which is a numerical value of 100, and it means the completion of a circle. That's why in 1917, a man declared to Israel, General Allenby, that Jerusalem belongs to you. 100 years later, in the quoth year, a man declares to Israel that Jerusalem belongs to you, Donald Trump, right? It was just the complete quoth circle of the 100, right? God said the line's been. Now, I'm going to read this and I'm going to be done. Can you give me 5 minutes, Pastor Dan?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're going to Isaiah 4. Because I love righteous people. I love people who hate sin. Oh. If you can ever get to the place where you despise sin, oh, you'd be in a great place. Oh my, I mean, when you just hate it, you know? You just, I cursed in my dream once and I was like, what was that? You know, it's like, When you're like, you're such a relationship with God, it's like, God, I would never say nothing like that. Why would that be in my dream?
Amen.
You know, it's like you hate sin. God wants us to be that way, right? He's coming for a bride, but he's coming for people that love him, okay? Yes. You are not going to be completely righteous when, even when God picks you up, you're not going to be completely like, oh, I'm so completely living for God every day and I never sin. I know. No, you might still be repenting, still trying to overcome some things.
Yeah, yeah.
You might, all that stuff may still be going on. But what is the difference between a person who is living for God and a person who's not living for God? One person, if he makes a mistake, he's apologizing and he's repenting and he's coming back into right standing. Yeah. The other one is sinning and saying, well, God's going to have to learn how to like me the way I am.
Ooh, wow.
Okay? And that's the difference. Okay? Because not, God will never come down to your level.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Amen.
So let's read Ephesians chapter 4. Did I say Isaiah? I'm in Ephesians chapter 4. Well, that's way far off. Okay. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. How do you grieve them? By sinning, not repenting, and continuing sinning.
Yeah.
You were sealed for the day of redemption. Okay? Sealed for the day of redemption, not until. Okay? Is the Holy Spirit has been given to you for the day of redemption.
Right.
Okay? Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice.
Yes.
Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one each other, just as Christ has forgiven you.
Yes.
Chapter 5. Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, live a life of love just as Christ loves us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be any hint of sexual immorality,
yes,
or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people.
Yes.
Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. You hear that?
Yes.
Which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this, you can be sure, no immoral, impure, greedy person, such a man is an idolater and has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such thing, God's wrath comes upon the children of what? Disobedience. So God wants us to be what?
Obedient.
I just read to you all the things that God does not want us to do. Okay? We shouldn't be greedy, cursing, and all of this stuff. And I'm sorry, Pastor Ben, I have to go to Jeremiah chapter 15.
Amen.
And we have to finish there.
Amen.
Hope you got enough film in the camera. We used to say that, huh?
Yeah, we did.
That tells how old we are.
Amen.
Yeah. If you remember that, you old too.
Yep.
You like, make sure you got film in the camera. You old. Because our kids don't know nothing about Kodak. Right? Okay, now listen to me before I read this. God is saying this, look. Love righteousness. Love it. Despise sin. Because people who live in sin and get comfortable without repenting will not have a place in the rapture. And my job is to prepare you to leave, not prepare you to stay. So I want you to be just as I would be. If I did something wrong, I'm going to go and I'm going to repent and tell God, forgive me so that he can set me back in right standing, okay? There is a world out there that does not want to repent, okay? They don't love God. And God is like, look, the whole world, how many of you guys know Noah backwards is grace?
Yeah.
Do you know that? Noah's name backwards in Hebrew is grace. So grace ended when the boat left, right? The grace is going to end when the church leaves. You understand? What is the grace? I'm giving you grace because now if you sin, you have the ability to ask for forgiveness. Okay? Now you have accepted Christ and you are part of his family. Okay? But when that time comes, if you're a person that you're playing games with God and you know you're not really living for God or these all these things, you've got to understand, keep being ready is the most important thing. So God had me read this and he said, make sure I read this before I leave, Pastor Ben. And I'm just going to read it, okay? It says, he said, because it pertains to this word, the people now, okay? It says, the Lord said to me, even if Moses and Samuel were to stand before me, my heart would not go out to these people. Talking about people who don't want him. Because listen, there's a whole group of people who don't want him. You are not going to make anybody love God.
No.
Okay? Your job is to do what? Preach the gospel. But God knows that there are people who don't want him. Okay? It says, God said, he says, send them away from my presence. Let them go. And if they ask you, where shall I go? Tell them, this is what the Lord says. Destined for death to death, those for the sword to the sword, those for starvation to starvation, those for captivity to captivity. I will send four kinds of destroyers against them, declares the Lord. The sword to kill, the dog to drag away, the birds of the air, and the beast of the earth to devour and destroy. I will make them a heritage to all kingdoms of the earth. Because of what Manasseh, son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, did in Jerusalem. Manasseh was a great sinner. He repented, though. It says, who will give pity on you, O Jerusalem? Who will mourn for you? Who will stop to ask, how are you? Who have rejected me, declared the Lord. You keep on backsliding, so I will lay hands on you and destroy you. I can no longer show compassion. I will winnow them with the winnowing fork at the city gate, and I will bring bereavement and destruction on my people, for they have not changed their ways. Okay? So what God is saying, look, if you love him, it's time to make a decision. Love him. If you want to keep on backsliding, go ahead and keep backsliding. But death for the death, captivity for the captivity, sword for the sword. Because God says at a time, he's going to get tired of relenting from his wrath because his wrath is coming. I'm giving you guys reality, okay? Reality is God is a wonderful person, but he can be a bad dude.
Yeah.
Okay? So
amen.
Let's be on his good side.
Yes, Lord.
Let's praise his name. Let's celebrate in what we have, which is his spirit inside of us, guiding us and leading us to our true home, which is the kingdom. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, okay. I got to pray for our people because we've been all over. All right. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, I just pray for everyone all over the world, Father God, who's watching this broadcast, Father God. And I just thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, for their spirit. I thank you, Father God, for their willingness to listen. I thank you, Father God, for their love for your son, Jesus Christ, in their heart. We thank you, Father God, for your plan for our salvation. We thank you for dying on the cross for us, Father God. And we just want to pray that each one of them, Father God, will be a light and a blessing to their families and to their communities. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah.
Beautiful, man.